The Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
And welcome to That Show Hasn't Been Funny in Years, an SNL podcast. I am your host, Nick DiGilio. I'm a podcaster, comedy writer, and performer, graduate of the Second City, and a Saturday Night Live expert and historian. Each week, we look back at everything SNL, the best, the worst, the good, the bad, the classic, the forgotten. We'll talk about full seasons and full casts, behind-the-scenes stories, episodes, sketches, SNL's historical significance, and much, much more. And sometimes I'll have guests, sometimes I won't. But with every episode, I will always prove that that tired cliche that you hear all the time, that show hasn't been funny in years, is completely untrue and wrong. And this episode is entitled Full Throttle, The Best of Bobby. And it's a look at the work that the great cast member Bobby Moynihan did on Saturday Night Live. I love Bobby Moynihan. He is one of those guys who has gone down and will continue to go down in history as one of the strongest, most consistent cast members in the history of Saturday Night Live. He was on for 9 seasons. He debuted on September 13, 2008. His final show was May 20th, 2017. And in those 9 years, in those 9 seasons, he did some very amazing work. He came out of the gate really strong as a featured player, spent 2 years as a featured player, was bumped up into regular cast member, and worked on casts that included some incredible people like, you know, Kate McKinnon and A.D. Bryant and Beck Bennett and Jay Farrow, you know, Nassim Pedra, Taron Killam, Vanessa Bayer. You know, he worked with a very strong mid-2000s cast, a series of casts, but he was always a standout. He was kind of, you know, like, as you know, when someone is considered a really strong, versatile cast member on Saturday Night Live, they are called Phil Hartman. They are called the glue, and that's what Phil Hartman was called, and I think Bobby Moynihan was always like the glue. Kenan Thompson, who, by the way, had crossover years with Bobby Moynihan, because, of course, Kenan Thompson's been there for 21 seasons, so of course he's worked with Bobby Moynihan. Of course he was there for that stretch. But Kenan Thompson has evolved into that kind of thing where he is the glue. When if a sketch is going south and Kenan Thompson shows up, you know at least one thing will be great about it and one thing will be really cool. And that's how I felt about Bobby Moynihan. You know, he spent, like I said, 9 seasons on SNL. And he would go on to do other work. He would appear in TV, does a lot of voiceover work in cartoons and feature animated movies. And he's been on TV series. He had TV series of his own. You know, and he's been in movies, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but I want to talk about his contributions to SNL, specifically some of the strongest stuff that he did on SNL. And this is the case with a lot of people. Sarah Sherman is like this. Heidi Gardner is like this. A lot of people really get to shine when they're on Weekend Update. Pete Davidson is a perfect example of that. Pete Davidson, not the strongest character developer, not the strongest impressionist, not the strongest in sketch comedy, but on Weekend Update, when he basically did his version of stand-up or did like a version of himself, he was outstanding. So Pete Davidson was great, but he was kind of himself. The other cast members who excelled on Weekend Update did great characters, like, Kate McKinnon did a bunch of great different characters on Weekend Update, and Heidi Gardner does a bunch of great different characters for Weekend Update. And so many other people have, like, really excelled on Update, including Bobby Moynihan. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the really great stuff he did in creating these three-dimensional, very, very funny characters for his appearances on Weekend Update, a lot with Seth Myers, and some with Jost and Che, as the years progressed and, you know, the head writers changed and the Weekend Update anchors and things changed while Moynihan was there. But he always did consistent, very funny work on Weekend Update. He also had some really memorable characters that were recurring in sketches, and he was always great at creating a very memorable character and working with maybe one or two other people and just kicking ass in sketches and getting laughs. He didn't rely on the fact that he was a big guy. You know, he's kind of a big guy, so he can fall into the I will be fat, funny, falling guy, or I will try to emulate John Belushi, or I will be Chris Farley, or I will be Horatio Sanz. He was distinctive among the chubby, funny guy that you see in casts on SNL all the time. But he stood out. He was a little bit chubby, but he could also play different varying things. He could be creepy. He could be sweet. He could be evil. He could be adorable. He could do below-the-belt humor. He could do intellectual humor. I think the guy has, just a versatility that is kind of staggering when you think about it. You look at him and you think one thing is going to happen because he physically looks like, you know, the kind of chubby dude that you see on SNL all the time. And then suddenly he will create these characters that are not reliant on that and that are completely different, that are three-dimensional and sometimes weird. He created a ton of characters. I'll tell you about those. We'll talk about some of the great sketch work that he did on the show. And then what he did afterwards. He appeared on his own TV show. He's on a show called Me, Myself, and I. He was the best part of a show featuring Ted Danson that was created by Tina Fey. He was an assistant to the mayor on Mr. Mayor, and he stole that show. He and Holly Hunter were the best parts of that show. So the guy's great, and he continues to do really cool work and develop things. And again, like really doing outstanding, versatile, awesome voice work for animated movies and animated TV shows and internet games and videos and things. So lovely man, also really, really nice guy. Every interview you ever see with him, he's very humble. He's always very funny. And he's just, he's a happy dude who is thrilled to be in show business and thrilled to share his comedic gifts with the world, and share it he does. So, he joined, like I said, he joined the cast on the 34th season, and he did incredible work while he was on there. Now, from the Saturday Night Live book, again, live from New York, the complete and uncensored history of Saturday Night Live is told by its stars, writers, and guests, written by James Andrew Miller and Tom Shales, who, by the way, just passed away a few weeks ago. The great Tom Shales, an incredible writer, great TV critic, incredible journalist, and the co-author of the Bible of Saturday Night Live books. By the way, if you're a fan of Saturday Night Live and you do not own Live from New York, the book, you really have to check it out. It's a significant piece of work. It is the Bible for anybody who is a Saturday Night Live fan. And I have this thing on my desk next to my microphone and my gear. Whenever I do a Saturday Night Live episode, it's always there, and I refer to it constantly. It's fantastic. So talking about Bobby Moynihan getting the gig on SNL, it was obviously a really, really big deal for him. And, just incredible stuff. He was a guy who... He started out in the business early on. He's done animated work, and you know, he was just one of these guys who started out really, you know, doing sketch comedy like a lot of people do. And what they say is he started out, he's a longtime performer at New York's Upside Citizens Brigade Theater. He was award-winning sketch writer before he set foot in 30 Rock. One of the reasons why that he auditioned in the middle of season 33, it was during a writer's strike. He didn't make the cut when he first auditioned, but he impressed Lauren so much that he came back, you know, for the next summer and got in on season 34. But he started out at Upright Citizen Brigade, did stand up, did a little bit of stand up and a lot of sketch comedy. That's where he got his start. So he auditioned once for Lauren for the middle of season 33 during the strike. He didn't get it, but he did get season 34. And straight from the book, Live from New York, Bobby Moynihan says, "I spent about 6 months working on an audition. Then I sent in a tape. When I got called to come in and audition, I thought, there is no way I'm going to get it. I auditioned, and then the next day they brought me in to talk to Lauren, and I couldn't believe it. I think I waited like 9 hours on the couch outside of his office. It was the LeBron James episode, and LeBron James was late, so I had to wait until he would come in and finish everything. Then I talked to Lauren. It was like a first date. He just wanted to know everything. He asked me about my family, where I went to school. He asked if I was a fan of the show, and I'm a super fan, so I had a lot to talk about and a lot of questions to ask him about the first season, the whole start of it. I remember him saying, is there anything here you like? And I said, oh, I know. That's your What's Your Best Boss mug. That's from the Steve Carell show, the, from the Office sketch. And Lauren goes, oh, yeah, that mug is next to those Emmys. That's what you mean? And then he was super nice and wonderful, and he said something along the lines of, I had a very long beard and very long hair. Why don't you cut your hair and shave your beard and come back? And I did. And then he called me back again, and he said, we'll start you in January. And it was never definite. And I went, I think I just got it, but I don't know. And then the writer's strike happened. And the next day, for 9 months, I just sat in my apartment going, I think I got it, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I have no idea. It was like, my hiring was not a first, was not the first thing on their list. And I heard nothing for over 9 months. Then I heard through the grapevine that the writer's strike was coming to an end. And then I got called on SNL the day it ended. This is it. They're calling me to come to work on Monday. And they were like, hey, Maya Rudolph had a baby during the writer's strike, so we're going to hire a girl. And then they hired Casey Wilson, and I was devastated. And I thought, well, that's it. It didn't happen ever. And I was a couple of months in tears. I ended up getting a couple of jobs in movies and little things here there, but my heart was broken. And then Seth called me out of the blue, Seth Meyers. And I was in Rome, and he said, we're doing a web series called The Line that Bill Hader and Simon Rich wrote, and we would love for you to play a part in it. And I thought, that's my consolation prize. So I went in, and I did it, and it was my second audition, kind of, almost. And it went well, and then they worked with me, and after 3 days, they said, why don't you come back and audition for SNL again? And Steve Higgins told me to watch Jimmy Fallon's audition. He said he knew I didn't play guitar and it wasn't an impression guy. But Jimmy did a whole bunch of things. So I stayed up for 3 days writing all new stuff. And I thought, man, I'm going to show them 30 things that I can do instead of three characters and three impressions. And he went in and he did those 30 things, and then he got it. So it was a long kind of trek for Bobby Moynihan to finally get the gig on SNL. But then he got it. And he did incredible work on SNL. And he was very, very, obviously very, very happy to be there. And some of his more memorable characters that he did on SNL included, he did Mark Payne, who was a waiter that worked for Pizzeria Uno. He wears a black do-rag and a black and white button-down t-shirt. That was a great one. Vinnie Venducci Jr., who was Bill Hader's Italian talk show, Vinnie Venducci. He was his little kid, his little son. He was also Liam, one of the kids in Gilly's Classroom, played by Kristen Wiig. He was the obnoxious microphone guy, a very annoying man who attends parties and other events, and at some point will steal the microphone from the MC, usually played by Jason Sudeikis, and scream, "What?" and then drop it to the floor. He was a scared straight kid with Bill Hader and Andy Samberg, usually, and that was when Kenan Thompson would come in as a convict and scare these three sort of juvenile delinquents into being straight. Jason Sudeikis was always the cop. Those were fantastic. Ass Dan, one of the most memorable characters from the Kit Spit Underground Rock Festival. He was the winner of the Hearst, the worst He-Man impression contest, the mud-eating contest. And then, of course, Ass Dan always died during these commercials for the Kit Spit Underground Rock Festival, which was this hilarious takeoff on, like, your Riot Fests and, you know, your underground, like, Juggalo festivals, and Ass Dan was one of those characters. Keith was a young movie fan who was excited about everything except for the illustrious career of the person they were interviewing. Like, he was supposed to be excited about Robert De Niro, but he wasn't. He also played he was this kid who was not excited with big movie stars. And then he was Doug, the mechanic for a trolley ride. He was Richie, the stage manager for The Best of Both Worlds. He was Slappy Pappy, one of the regular comedians on the original Kings of Comedy catchphrase tour. He was Janet Peckinpah, a middle-aged woman who hooks up with male celebrities, including Tom Brady. Some of his celebrity impressions included Bill Belichick, Ken Bone, Susan Boyle, Chris Christie, Mindy Cohen, David Crosby, Ted Cruz, John Daly the golfer, Danny DeVito, Josh Fogel, Rob Ford. Remember Rob Ford from Toronto, running around like a maniac? Barney Frank, James Gandolfini, Newt Gingrich, Jonah Hill, Mike Huckabee, Rob Kardashian, Nathan Lane, George Lucas, George R.R. Martin, Rosie O'Donnell, Seth Rogen, Kevin Smith, Snooki. His Snooki from Jersey Shore was hilarious. Steven Seagal, Donald Sutherland. He did so many other great sketches and so many other great things. So those are just a few things that he did. And so what I've got here, Like I said, my favorite stuff, I think some of the strongest stuff that he did, some of the greatest characters that he did, was when he appeared on Weekend Update. And I've picked my top three Weekend Update Bobby Moynihan characters, and that's what we're going to hear. And then I'm going to play one of my favorite sketches where he was with an entire ensemble. And I want to play that sketch as an example as to how he stands out, because The sketch that I'm going to play later as an example of how good he was as in sketches is an example of how great he is, because literally every single cast member from that season is in the sketch. Every single cast member from that season is in the sketch, and he and his partner in that sketch, Cecily Strong, rock it. So I want to give you an example of why he was great on his own, why he was great at developing characters for Weekend Update, and give you some examples, some shining, hilarious examples for you to listen to from his Weekend Update characters. And then I want to close it, the segment, with, you know, I told you all about some of the sketches he did, the memorable things that he's done over the years. But then I want to close with one of the sketches that he did with Cecily Strong, where they play these two employees who think they're going to be fired and then basically roast and slam and rip apart all of their coworkers. And they did that sketch four times, and it was always very funny. So, examples of why he's great, examples of why Bobby Moynihan was special on SNL, and then we'll talk a little bit about what he's done since then. But I do also want to mention that in addition to all of the things I've talked about, the impressions that he did, the characters he created, the sketch work that he did consistently, and how he was always a team player and the glue, and he made everybody else on stage look good as well, Bobby Moynihan also was one of the creators and the writers of David S. Pumpkins. Yes, he... along with Mikey Day and another writer, wrote David S. Pumpkins. And that's why he appears as one of the skeleton-clad B-boys with David S. Pumpkins, the classic Tom Hanks Halloween character that took off in October of 2016 and has become legendary on the internet, legendary in the world of comedy, legendary, obviously, in the world of SNL. Tom Hanks has played him three times on SNL, played him a couple of other times in different things. There was an animated Halloween special for David S. Pumpkins, and it was just this idea that Bobby Moynihan had. So you can thank Bobby Moynihan for not only all the great work that he did on SNL and elsewhere, but also for David S. Pumpkins. That's right. There would be no Tom Hanks as David S. Pumpkins without the great Bobby Moynihan. So full throttle. All right. Three of the characters that he did on Weekend Update, I would like to share with you right now. So first, the first one I'm going to share is Guy Fieri. So, as you probably know, he played Guy Fieri. He played Guy Fieri a bunch of times on SNL. He played him four times, and one time he was unaired. It was a bit that got cut after Dress. But he played him four times, Guy Fieri, three times on Weekend Update, and then one time where they had a special, they did a commercial for the Guy Fieri Full Throttle Christmas special. But when he did Guy Fieri, it was hilarious. Guy Fieri himself loved it, and we all know Guy Fieri from the Food Network and has become this superstar. He does Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. He does Guy's Big Bite. He does Guy's Grocery Games. He's got the spiky, frosted tipped hair and the goatee. He's got tattoos. He eats like a maniac. His restaurant is known for, really sloppy, goofy food. He's not known as a culinary genius or a chef, but he's kind of a working class idiot. We all know who Guy Fieri is. And he's a character who deserves to be mocked. He's a character that deserves to be satirized. And boy, does Bobby Moynihan do it. So he played Guy Fieri four times. This is one of the times that he appeared that he appeared as Guy Fieri, and this is with Seth. This is for the Super Bowl. This is from February 4th, 2012. Your host was Channing Tatum. Your musical guest was Bon Iver, and it was season 37, episode 13. By the way, a great episode, a strong episode. Channing Tatum did a great job. Bon Iver was terrific. It was great. And again, I give you the season and episode numbers and dates so that you can look for them and find these sketches and full episodes available on Peacock, at peacock.com. If you subscribe to Peacock, You can check it out there, and SNL's YouTube channel. And anywhere you look online, you can find information or these sketches, which is why I give you all that information. So season 37, episode 13, February 4th, 2012. Channing Tatum, your host. Bon Iver, your musical guest. This is Guy Fieri making an appearance on Weekend Update talking about the Super Bowl.
Tomorrow, the New York Giants take on the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. All right. Here with some ideas on what to serve at your Super Bowl party is the Food Network's Guy Fieri.
All right! Seth Meyers cutting wires using pliers.
All right. It rhymes. Guy, I'm excited for these recipes. Are you ready?
I was born crazy! Full throttle! Now, one of my favorite parts of any Super Bowl party is the finger ball foot food.
Oh, I think you mean football finger food.
Nope. I got it backwards on purpose, much like my sunglasses. Protect your neck!
Nice.
All right.
Yeah.
The key to Super Bowl food is having a theme. So what better way to get ready for the Giants versus the Pats than with a giant pat of butter. It's what the French call an amuse-bouche. Just plop this monster down on the coffee table and hand out spoons. I'd eat this off a cleat.
All right. Not bad, I guess. What else do you have, Guy?
All right. In honor of Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, I'd like to make the Tom Brady Bunch of hot dogs. Super simple to make. Get yourself 20 to 30 all beef franks, take a three-step drop, and then just toss them onto the grill. And don't worry, Murray, if your grill is out of gas, just cook them over your shirt flames.
That's smart.
Hey, that's not smart, Seth. That's Kmart smart. Full throttle! Now, once those dogs are cooked, just serve them up Tom Brady style in a men's Ugg boot. Oh, who wouldn't go for that?
Everyone?
Nice!
Yeah.
The next one is inspired by the halftime entertainment Madonna. And it's just a weird bucket of muscles. I'd eat this off of Lady Gaga.
Get that off my desk.
That's understandable.
Half throttle at best.
Half throttle. Little throttle. All right. And finally, the piece of resistance, the dip. A multi-layer New York, New England themed dip with alternating layers of regional delicacies. It's a layer of Manhattan clam chowder, a layer of New England clam chowder, a layer of $12 soft pretzels, a stupid amount of Vermont maple syrup, half a street knish, two live lobsters who do not get along, a pigeon that is too fat to fly, a six-pack of Sam Adams, and a paper plate from a pizzeria that still has a little bit of cheese on it, all stuffed into a clear toilet bowl. Turn your Super Bowl party into a Super Bowl party. Whoa, half throttle.
Full throttle. Guy Fieri, everyone.
I want a food contest.
There it is. All right. So Guy Fieri, his work on Update is great, and that's the first of three of my favorite characters that he did on Update. He did a lot of work outside. He was Louie Duck on DuckTales. He worked with the Wee Bear Cares. He was in Monsters University, Secret Life of Pets. As I mentioned, he was on Mr. Mayor, which he was the best part of that show. He did work on, he would work on, he did stuff for pizza, commercials for Pizza Hut. He worked with the Cartoon Network. Amazing stuff. Going all the way back. He started, working as a writer and appearing on Conan O'Brien. He did some sketch stuff for Conan O'Brien before he got the gig at SNL as well. And, it's incredible because, there were people like Fred Armisen and Will Forte, Bill Hader, Seth Meyers, Amy Poehler, Andy Samberg, Jason Sudeikis, Kristen Wiig, among others. And he jumped in with those people and was going toe-to-toe and working just as strongly as those guys were. And those are really, really hard, hard, you know, people to work with, not to work with personally, but, you know, to these are comedy, you know, these are gold comedy talents. And he was up there standing toe-to-toe with them and continued to do great work while he was on SNL for those 9 seasons. You could see him on Impractical Jokers. He was on Crepopolis, which is the new animated show. He's appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race. He was on Battle Kitty. He was on a couple of Star Trek shows. Is It Cake? He was on Alice's Wonderland Bakery. Does a lot of voiceover work on that. You know, he was in Documentary Now with Bill Hader and all these other guys. Descendants. He's done Tacoma FD. He has appeared on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. He's a regular on that. He was on Detroiters. He was in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. He was on a show called Playing House. He was in Drunk History. He's appeared on The Simpsons. This is a guy that's done a lot of work, but, you know, like the strongest stuff he did, I think, was on SNL, even though he continues to do really cool stuff. So let's get back to his Weekend Update characters. So here's my second one. And this is one of the best characters that's ever been on Weekend Update, and it's Anthony Crispino. Anthony Crispino is a friend and a neighbor of Seth Meyers, who does the secondhand news. So he appears on Weekend Update to give the secondhand news. So that's basically news that he heard from goofballs and idiots that he hangs out with in the neighborhood. And all the news that he hears is usually wrong. The details are wrong. The names are wrong. Because he hears it through a friend, from a friend, through a friend. And it's all secondhand news. And Anthony Crispino is this Italian guy with a mustache. He's got a suit on. And he knows this guy and he knows that guy. And he's a New Yorker. And that's how he gets his news. He gets his news from the street, being an Italian guy, hanging out in New York. So Anthony Crispino was a very popular character on Weekend Update, and he did him 10 times. Anthony Crispino appeared 10 times on Weekend Update giving his secondhand news. And so I'm going to play. This bit is from March 12, 2011. So it's from season 36, episode 17. Zach Galifianakis was the host. Jesse J was the musical guest. And this is Anthony Crispino, the secondhand news guy, telling everybody about the Oscars and much more. So here is Anthony Crispino in one of the 10 visits to Weekend Update.
There's a lot of news in the news this week, but here with the news he hears secondhand is our secondhand news correspondent, Anthony Crispino.
Hey, Seth, how you doing, man? It's great to be back, huh? Hey, I like that tie. It's Costco, right?
No, it's not from Costco.
You could have fooled me.
Come on, man.
All right.
So, Anthony, what have you heard news-wise?
Well, first of all, you hear about this, the Oscars, set?
Yeah.
Best Picture went to Larry King's speech.
No.
Yeah. And Melissa Leo, she dropped an H-bomb.
Incorrect.
Yeah, it's true. Hurt a lot of people. And Natalie Portman won Best Actress. But you know who wasn't too happy about it? Arkansas Governor Huckleberry Hound. Yeah, you see, he was mad because she made a baby out of dreadlocks.
No. No. He was mad because she had a baby out of wedlock.
Either way, man, I loved her in her Oscar movie, Black Tron, starring Todd Bridges.
No.
Good movie. Love that guy. No.
Who told you that?
Who told me that? My nephew, Disaster Greg.
Well, I believe Disaster Greg was misinformed.
No, Seth. He was misformed. That's why he's such a disaster. You see, his eyes are where his ears are supposed to be. He's a weird-looking dude, Seth.
Okay, you know what? Let's just move on.
Okay. All right. So, you hear about this, situation in North Africa, though?
Yeah.
There's this wizard over there causing all sorts of trouble, Gandolfi.
No. He's not a wizard, and his name is Gaddafi.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
No matter how high your voice gets.
Couldn't hear that one. It was too high. But, see, Seth, apparently, this Gandolfi, he's a real ladies' man, you know? Because he calls himself, you know, the president of labia. It's true.
I'm not gonna even touch that one.
Oh, you're not gonna touch labia, Seth?
Come on.
Okay. All right.
What about the big news story this week? Did you hear anything about Charlie Sheen?
No, why? What happened? Is he okay?
Oh, come on.
Was he in the news? What happened?
You didn't hear anything about Charlie Sheen.
No, I never even heard of the guy.
Oh, come on.
But hey, did you hear about this TV star whose show got canceled because he went crazy and did a bunch of cocaine? Miss Charlie Rose?
No! That was Charlie Sheen.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Charlie
Rose. It wasn't.
Rose. They canceled his show, Two Men, a Girl, and Half a Pizza Place. And now he's been sending out messages via Twizzlers.
No.
Yeah, he sent out like a million Twizzlers. There's candy everywhere.
Who told you that?
Who told me that? Oh, it was this awesome guy I met, Charlie Sheen.
All right, that's enough. Anthony Crispino, everyone.
Like that I said, that's a nice
thank you.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because, like, when he looks around, he'll look around, like, you hear about this thing? And he'll look around to make sure that nobody can see them or, like, he's, like, telling them a big secret and his voice gets pretty high and stuff, as you heard. A great character, a fantastic character, appeared 10 times giving the secondhand news. All right. So, as I said, Bobby Moynihan's really incredible work on Weekend Update is very memorable, but I don't think there is a character that is more memorable and that is funnier and that is better. And I'm including Riblet, by the way. Riblet was Michael Che's neighbor. And Riblet would come in and try to do the news better than Colin Jost and Michael Che. And that's Riblet, who is a great character, a great character. And I didn't want to do this without mentioning the great Riblet. And do yourself a favor, Google SNL Bobby Moynihan Riblet and watch this unbelievably hilarious character that he did. But the best character he ever did on Weekend Update, without question, maybe the best character he ever did on Saturday Night Live in general, was Drunk Uncle. Drunk Uncle represents, well, he's the drunk uncle. He's the guy that shows up and says all the politically incorrect stuff, speaks his mind, is ancient, and has just really weird values. He gets drunk. He says all the things that drunk uncles say at Thanksgiving and so on and so forth. He's the relative you don't want to talk to. He's the one that says stuff that you can't believe he just said. That stuff came out of his mouth. Oh, my God. Drunk Uncle appeared on Weekend Update a total of 14 times. After Bobby Moynihan left, he would come back and do Drunk Uncle. And there was also, you know, Drunk Dinklage. Peter Dinklage came out as him one time. He had special guests come out. But Drunk Uncle might be the best and most memorable and maybe the funniest character that Bobby Moynihan ever did on SNL. 14 times he appeared. Let me play one for you. And they were always great. He was never not hilarious. Drunk Uncle's appearances, every time Bobby Moynihan did an appearance as Drunk Uncle on SNL, it was gold. It was hilarious, and it killed every time. It was very hard for me to choose one, just one, out of the 14 times he did it. But I chose this one. This is Drunk Uncle talking about Easter, and when he comes rolling out drunk with his drink, gray hair, all drunk and sad, with his like members only jacket and his bad sweater. He is also wearing bunny ears in this. Just picture some bunny ears on his head as he wheels out to talk about Easter. This is from April 7th, 2012. That would be season 37, episode 18. So Sofia Vergara was the musical guest. Was the host, and the musical guest was One Direction. So again, April 7th, 2012. Season 37, episode 18, The Great Drunk Uncle Talking Easter.
Well, Easter Sunday is upon us once again, which means time spent with the family. Here with tips on how to cope with your family, Drunk Uncle.
Simply having a wonderful Easter time.
Well, happy Easter, Drunk Uncle.
Is it, Seth? Because when I was a kid, you know, Easter used to mean something. You know, we used to get dressed up. I wore a tuxedo for a week. And we used to color our eggs by hand with lead paint. Now, there's an app for that. Boop, boop. Hey, Siri. Why did a Chinaman steal my job? Droid.
So, Drunk Uncle, are you spending Easter with your family?
Yeah, I can't wait. You want to see an impression of my niece, Alyssa?
Sure.
Meh. 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 What's the matter, Alyssa? Cat got your Prius? Ooh. eBay of pigs. You know, kids today, they don't even stand when a woman comes in the room. All these kids care about Is this Wi-Fi organic? Can I get some raw almonds on my yoga class? Netflix me, Netflix me, Netflix me. You know what you should put in your Netflix queue? A haircut.
Drunk uncle.
Yeah, you call this St. Patrick's Day?
No.
Stupid. Stupid. St. Patrick should chase those snakes out of my town. You know, when I say snakes, what I really
mean
is...
Oh, yeah, no, don't say it.
What? Minorities.
Drunk uncle.
So...
Oh, no.
So I'm not a prize winner, okay? So I'm not a dream hunk, okay? So I'm not too fast, too furious, okay? That's not me.
That's not anybody.
So what? You know what I call the Hunger Games?
What do you call the Hunger Games?
Trying to raise 6 kids on an exterminator's salary. Brenda. Oh, the best part of waking up.
Uncle?
It's Folgers in your cup. He still cashes clay to me, Seth.
Okay. Drunk uncle. I'm just gonna say this. I think you're too drunk.
Is that what you think, One Direction?
No, don't call me that.
Birth. Our country's heading in one direction. A crapper.
All right.
Too drunk. I'm fine.
All right.
I just need to put something in my stomach.
Oh, no.
No. Peeps.
That's a bad call. It's not a solution.
Phoebe. Phoebe. The Roadrunner.
Yeah, no,
Phoebe.
Yeah.
You get it, Tina?
Oh, all right.
You get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Hey. Hey. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
No, you say knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I don't know.
Just say immigrant. Start over.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Immigrant.
Go away.
Drunk uncle, everyone.
You're under arrest.
Brilliant. Just so funny. And by the way, when he's eating the peeps, because it's Easter, I love the fact that he says he calls Seth Tina. Drunk uncle. So yeah, those are my 3 favorite Weekend Update characters among many that Bobby Moynihan did. Drunk uncle, Guy Fieri, and Anthony Crispino, your secondhand news. But he wasn't just a great guy on Weekend Update. He also did amazing work in sketches. So I just wanted to give you an example of him working with the ensemble, of him dominating. In this, they did this sketch several times where Cecily Strong and Bobby Moynihan play employees at usually a place that has service industry, like at a fast food place or a place where you deal with customers. And with other people. And they basically think they're going to be fired, so they rip apart the managers and they rip apart all their coworkers. It's a great pair of characters. And this example is when they are having a Black Friday meeting at Best Buy. And the manager at Best Buy in this case is the host, Josh Hutcherson, who you remember from Hunger Games. And he was just in that A Night at Freddy's, terrible horror movie that was like Chuck E. Cheese come to life and killing people. Terrible movie. But Josh Hutcherson was the host. Haim was the musical guest. By the way, a great episode. Josh Hutcherson was very funny. They also did that night, they also did the sketch where Josh Hutcherson, where Vanessa Bayer goes to Josh Hutcherson in the 80s, and they do an interpretation of the Outfield song. Josie's on a vacation far away. That whole sketch is in that episode. It is season 39. It's episode 7, November 23rd, 2013. And in this sketch, along with Cecily Strong and Bobby Moynihan, killing it as the two main characters, just ripping all these people to shreds and insulting them. Jay Farrow, Kate McKinnon, Vanessa Bayer, Taryn Killam, Kyle Mooney, Noelle Wells, John Millhiser, A.D. Bryant, Beck Bennett, Nassim Pedrad, Mike O'Brien, and Kenan Thompson are all in this, along with Josh Hutcherson. So this, I just wanted to give you an example. Not only does incredible solo work and character work on Update, but he was also amazing in sketches. And this is an example of Bobby Moynihan dominating a sketch that literally has every single cast member in it as well. You're not going to fire us from Best Buy. We're going to jump on this and take care of it ourselves. This is, again, from November 23rd, 2013. And Cecily Strong and Bobby Moynihan dominating. And again, Bobby Moynihan proving what a great worker he was with every single person on that stage.
Okay, everybody, team meeting, please. Quick team meeting. I have some bad news. We were a little overzealous in our Black Friday hiring, and we are overstaffed this season. So, unfortunately...
Oh, yeah, right!
Oh, please! You overstaffed? Let me guess, by two?
Yeah, we know you firing us, because all these ugly-ass mugs keep complaining.
Planet of the Apes-looking bitches?
You stupid-ass apes!
I don't know what you're talking about. I'd love to really just get through this really quickly if I...
Not listening, Todd, because if we going out, then we going out on top like Breaking Bad.
So please direct your attention over to Dylan.
Oh, Dylan, why is your phone so damn big? I mean, the dummy got a 96-inch flat screen on his belt.
What do you need that phone for? Are you trying to take a picture of Rosie's big-ass neck tattoo?
It's a birthmark.
No, it's a bitch mark.
Because you were put on this earth to be a bitch.
No! You a bitch.
Guys, please stop doing the butterfly. It's not helping anybody.
Oh, speaking of not helping, look at these jacked up fools. The Geek Squad? Woof! More like the Geek Squad.
And you didn't have to change that one.
No, and can't you see that no one needs you anymore, or is you blind? Three blind bitches. See how they suck? See how they suck? One is a bitch with dirty hair, and one is a bitch who doesn't care.
And one has bad skin.
Dana, Niff, please stop.
Ooh, but how can we stop when it's time to play the pyramid?
Ooh, that's my favorite.
Okay, stupid face.
Pass.
Harry.
Pass.
Stay fresh.
Oh, that's that trash pile Beth.
Okay, that hurt, but thanks for not bringing up my adult braces.
Oh, come on, Beth. I mean, we're not monsters.
Yeah, we have a heart.
Guys, this is getting a little weird for everyone.
Oh, no. Speaking of weird, Drew, have you eaten Cheetos today?
No.
What about Doritos?
No.
Then why on earth is your mouth so orange?
You look like you were face deep in Garfield's butt.
I mean, leave that cat alone.
It's a Monday.
It is a little strange, Drew.
No, which brings us to this motor mouth.
Jessica, we are sick and tired of hearing about how you was that baby Jessica that fell down that well.
I am baby Jessica.
Well, now you work at Best Buy.
Yeah, you was better off in the well.
That's enough, really, it's not.
Oh, enough? Well, you obviously talking to Grace.
Yeah, we all know you wear butt pads to make your butt look good.
Actually, I don't.
Oh, well, damn, girl.
Good on you.
Nice.
Good on you.
That's very nice.
No, now where's that freak bitch, Edward?
Yeah, where he?
Cut your nails. Nobody cares if you're a classical guitarist. We work at Best Buy. To us, you're just like Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, sorry I got weird fingers, Winona Ryder.
Okay, you had that snow in your pocket. You clearly planned this.
Oh, and by the way, Mandrew, why do you always look like you just freshly murdered someone? I mean, you follow us from job to job. I guess we just have to accept the fact that you will kill us one day.
If we can kill one of us, both of us, what's the plan?
That was unsettling.
No, what's unsettling is Randy's hair color.
Yeah, I mean, you look like Ronald McDonald.
Who's Ronald McDonald?
Hey, Ben, you're stupid. You like magic.
Yeah, how did you know?
You want to watch us turn one bitch into three bitches?
Ooh,
Look at that. It's magic.
I can't believe that. Okay.
Oh. Guys, look, I know that Dylan is a bitch, that Rosie sucks, and Drew loves Garfield's butt. I get it. Everybody knows that. It's a fact. But you're not getting fired. Andrew is, okay? Where is Andrew? He's standing right behind me, isn't he?
Ooh, well, so long, Todd. You was a great manager, and you an even bigger bitch.
Good meeting y'all. I'll catch you on the flip.
Mm-hmm. Yo, sorry, guys. You don't get
fired. Just that, and that's just an example of him being in a sketch with every other single cast member and killing. Just a funny, funny, funny dude. And by the way, that the Andrew character is just tearing Killam with a wig on, looking directly into the camera as though he's going to kill you. The creepiest, scariest look ever. And then he ends up dragging Josh Hutcherson off the stage and killing him at the end. So anyway, that's an example of the great Bobby Moynihan, who would go on to star in his own sitcom, Me, Myself, and I. He was also the best part, like I said, of this show called Mr. Mayor, which is not a very good show, but Holly Hunter and he worked together a lot on that. And they were consistently the funniest thing on it. He's always great and always lovely and continues to work consistently in movies and on animated series and on TV. I think one of the funniest and most creative cast members in SNL history, and he kind of floats under the radar. I don't know. But, yeah. So, you know, I talked a little bit about, I had a quote from the Saturday Night Live book, Live from New York, about him preparing for his audition and how he got the gig and how excited he was. Well, this version that I have of Live from New York was released in 2014, so it was right... it was while Bobby Moynihan was still on the show. He was going to be on. He was going to stay for another three seasons when this was over three, four seasons actually when this was set. But here's Bobby Moynihan talking about how long to stay on SNL. How long do you stay? What are you going to do afterwards? Just SNL, where you are now. And at this point, Bobby Moynihan, when this interview was given, he was a cast member, and he said this: "I'll stay here as long as they'll have me. This was my dream, and I should be thinking more about the future and about more movies." But I'm still worried. When I walk out this door, I want to be able to say to myself, you did what you wanted to do and be happy with it. Those other jobs are nice, but they're not as hectic. Nothing is as hectic as this place. And I've been lucky enough to be in a couple of movies. But I love the idea at 2 o'clock in the morning, someone comes into your office and says something stupid and you go, that might work. And then you write it. And then a year later, you've done it five times and you're like, I can't believe that dumb joke turned into this amazing thing. It's true. So when I started, Amy and Daryl were still on the show. It was a completely different place. I just feel very lucky that I got to see what I got to see at the tail end of the quote-unquote old SNL, the Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler kind of days. And then I got to see the meteoric rise of Kristen and Bill and Andy and all of those guys. And now I'm getting to see all of the new ones. It's crazy. I feel very lucky of my timing on this show. Sometimes I still feel like the new guy, but now that there are other new guys out here, I feel like I can give advice, and it's worthy of listening to, and I'm in no rush to leave. When he said that, he ended up staying four more seasons, and it's absolutely true. He came at a very specific and interesting time, and he left at a very specific and interesting time. What he learned and what he brought to it is immeasurable. Bobby Moynihan, man, full throttle. I love Bobby Moynihan. So there you go. And again, check out all the episodes. I gave you the episode numbers and the dates. Make sure to watch all of those episodes and check it out. And look up Bobby Moynihan. Just go down that YouTube wormhole of sketches and other characters, things that I didn't touch on here, because there's a ton of hours and so many sketches and so many amazing things and other Weekend Update appearances and other things. Do yourself a favor. Do a little Google or a little YouTube wormhole search for Bobby Moynihan and his work on SNL, because you will be forever, forever gifted by that. Yes, you'll be rewarded by that. So there you go. Full throttle. Bobby Moynihan, the best of Bobby. All right. Hey, thank you for checking us out. If you have any suggestions, or if you have some things that you would like to hear on the SNL podcast, or comments, or anything, please let us know. Our voicemail system here is set up for you to call us and talk about SNL. If you have feedback, your favorite characters, your favorite cast members, your favorite sketches of all time, maybe Bobby Moynihan stuff. If you want to leave a message, please do. It's open 24/7 for any of your SNL thoughts. 773-417-6948. You can email me, nickdpodcast@gmail.com. nickdpodcast@gmail.com. That'll get to me here and at my other podcast, The Nick D Podcast. Both of my podcasts are available at radiomisfits.com, the best podcast network on the planet. Check out our 24/7 live feed, radiomisfits.live. My thanks to Jason Skaggs, who does the music and the themes that you hear at the beginning. My thanks to Ed Silla, who is the man who does it all. And my thanks to you. And we'll see you next time on That Show Hasn't Been Funny in Years, an SNL podcast. And again, my thanks to Jason Skaggs, who does the great opening theme and this beautiful, reminiscent of the closing theme of Saturday Night Live. Thanks again for listening to That Show Hasn't Been Funny in Years, an SNL podcast. We'll see you next time. I'm Nick DiGilio. Thank you.
Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.